Hey guys.
Hey guys, what's up? And welcome back to the Patreon.
Welcome back to my channel.
Hi guys, and welcome back to my channel. Make sure to smash that subscribe button.
Just remembered how we watched the Joey Graceffa.
I love him.
I love him too. He is literally so odd.
I love something about him.
I love whatever's wrong with him. As the kids say on TikTok.
You know what might be helpful? If we mostly use your copy of the book.
Totally.
Just because this loads so slow.
Okay.
And I feel that we probably have taken annotations on similar things.
Yeah. But do you think that you're going to want to look at it at the same time?
I mean, I'll have this here.
Whatever you think works for okay. you. I'm fine with whatever.
Okay.
I feel like that's probably true. I'm just wondering if you want to, like, I think we should just try whatever.
Okay.
I'm more just like, don't know how we'll be looking at this at the same time necessarily.
Well, I can see it from here.
Okay. You can read that. This one.
Yeah, the text is huge.
I need glasses. I actually do, and I always lose them.
So, I mean, like, you can read it from here. It's like, there's like four words a page.
I would not be able to read that from here. I guess I can, but it is hard. I was reading in like the dim light in my room, and I was like,
You have to stop doing that. You cannot read in dim light. My dad used to get so mad at me for that.
I don't do it often. I usually have my Kindle. You being like, you have to stop doing
you
that.
You do have to stop. You need to eat a bunch of carrots to make up for it.
Wait, I did want to also say how we watched Colleen Ballinger's videos, and that was actually disturbing to me.
That actually made me feel really, really sick. Really unsettled.
I know.
It actually made me feel deeply, deeply unsettled. I know. I'm so upset about what is going on with her and the fact that she is like existing in a corner of the world, all on her lonesome, isolated.
I know.
It's so scary. They should make a documentary about her.
I know. Because we were watching those, like, we didn't watch videos. We watched like part of one video. And as I was saying, I was like,
couldn't get through the whole tortilla talk.
First of all. But we watched like a Joey Graceffa video, and it's like him like staying in a like suite. Like, so obviously we watch a Joey Graceffa.
Well, duh. But I asked.
In like a sweet cottage in like the UK, like by himself, and he's like obviously so fucking weird, but it's like,
well, he's at least so happy. He's like frolicking around being like, oh, look at the sky, look at that tree, living for that tree,
literally living for that tree, mama. And then it's like a smash cut to Colleen Ballinger, who literally like is being like, I almost never leave my house.
Well, she's like wrapped up in a blanket in the corner of one of her rooms in her gigantic house with the vlog camera right up at her face, literally, and bangs to beat the band, being like,
literally so scary,
being like, I need to stop editing everything out. I need to give up on being perfect. Yes, you've lost it.
You lost the ship has sailed on you being perfect.
Yeah, literally.
The woman who got exposed for being like, how many times do you masturbate to an 11-year-old? It's like, yeah, you can stop trying to be perfect, my girl. It's not working.
Oh my god, she really scares me.
I know.
And it makes me feel so it actually makes me feel so unsettled because of the way that she was Miranda Sings. In the way that loved Miranda Sings.
The mask has fallen. I used to love Miranda Sings when I was a kid too.
Well, she was funny.
She was funny. It's for babies.
She was really funny back then. Oh my god, and she never does Miranda anymore, which, like, good. Thank god.
Miranda's over?
Yeah, I think Miranda's over. I mean, Miranda had her own channel, and I don't think anything's been posted on there.
Can you check if Miranda's over?
Obviously.
I actually don't know if Miranda is over.
Oh no, I'm nervous now.
And her having, like, a content ecosystem where it's, like, she just, like, vlogs by herself in her house and then has a podcast with her weird-ass husband alone in her house.
Miranda's over.
Okay.
The last time Miranda posted was 2 years ago, and it was with one of her little nephews.
Okay.
And then the time before that was when she did a shocking interview with JoJo Siwa.
Okay. Thank you.
Oh my god. Remember when she used to make the kids get on stage and then would like smack them on the crotch or something perverse like that? Oh my god.
Remember when Miranda would make the kids go on stage and give them a huge wedgie?
No, literally. Literally, she would do that.
I know. It's like, why did anyone ever think that was appropriate? But
I know. Ugh.
You just don't know. It was a different time.
Oh my god. She was so crass.
Someone commented on the video where I was like talking about like Kristen threatening Ariana with knives, and I don't know if they were joking or not, but they were like, it was a different time. What are you talking
Our
about?
Our comments have been insane recently, I feel.
I know.
First of all, there's less of them. And secondly, they're like...
Well, the views have been going back up. The views were down for a while.
The views were down, but they're getting back up. That's so true.
They are actually going back up.
People commenting, they think they were looking better. Because they said
they think you're looking better. They
said the thing about my glow up.
They said, Hannah, someone said, loving your glow up.
It's so crazy. What are you talking about? Why I'm like in a dimly lit room, like laying down.
You did and just my hair was your look, but I would never say like, that's your glow up.
No, it's and also so like, crazy. The person who commented that is not a familiar face.
No.
So it's like,
but okay. There's people who lurk. But yeah, there were people who were like, just saying like that. John is like Epstein, and I was like,
yeah,
John, okay, that's homophobic. Epstein's a pedophile.
That's really homophobic. And it's really homophobic to say that Jax got groomed. He was an adult.
It's a mutually beneficial relationship. A transactional relationship is like not exploitative because both people are getting something
yes.
out of it. Like,
yes. Otherwise it would be called an exploitative relationship, but yes. It's not. It's called a transactional one.
And everyone's like, that's why Jax is evil. Not everyone, but I'm like, that's not why Jax is evil.
Jax isn't, okay, and everybody's
John like, didn't turn Jax evil.
No, and John didn't turn Jax gay either. And everybody's being like, Jax is so evil because he's been in the closet for so many years. It's like, no, that doesn't make you that evil.
No, that does not make you that evil.
There's plenty of people who've been in the closet for longer than Jax supposedly has.
Literally.
Who aren't doing the kind of thing that Jax is doing.
Exactly.
I saw an awesome video. Jax's Studio City, his bar, is like
closing.
Officially not Jax's Studio City anymore. And he showed up to watch the sign being taken down. And he's just kind of like staring at it and like kicking dirt around. Alone.
Oh, it's embarrassing. I feel like we should talk about like Kenny and Janae really quickly just because it's like so prescient. And I was like in the chat with you guys.
Yeah, sure.
I
had no one.
I was like, so no one's responding to my text about this. I'll take it to the Patreon chat.
I know I wasn't answering my texts. And then I went onto the Patreon and I was like, okay, so they have been engaging in discourse at least somewhere.
That is me being like Colleen Ballinger.
Yeah, no, literally. It is.
Sending that. By the way, how many times a day do you guys masturbate?
We're allowed to ask that. There's no kids on there.
No kids on there. It's perverted, but it's not predatory.
No. Girl. You're stepping on the keys.
I know. Mine love to do that. Maybe that's why my computer's been breaking so often. But
certainly is why. Oh, my cat's at my 100-pound cat has been stomping all over
my
computer.
She's really stepping on my giant fucking cat. Hey, Kimmy. Oh, she hates that, like, I have the book, huh?
I know. Well, there's a bunch of stuff in her way right now. The love you pillow.
He was hating that I had the book, like, when I was reading it. He was getting pissed the fuck off about it. But, I just think it's really bad. I don't know if I have any, like, hot takes other than, like...
Kenny and Janae?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really bad.
The only thing that I was going to say that I think I maybe said to you is that when I was watching Beyond the Villa, I was, like... I obviously would not watch that and be, like, he's, like, a racist who, like, says derogatory things about, like, black women and there's, like... What, I wouldn't, like, make that far of an inclusion, obviously. Right. But I was watching it being, like, okay, like, Leah and Miguel and, like, Serena and Cordell feel much more, like, kind of, like, a miracle that they found each other and that they seem, like, legitimate.
Ride or die style.
Yeah. And, like, Kenny and Janae were not giving that same energy. And, yeah, but I just feel really bad for her, obviously.
I saw somebody post a video that was... Okay, you've got something on your pants. What I was going to say is that I saw a video of somebody being like, it's so insane that he, I can't even look at it, that he had like a whole other family. And then the comments are being like, girl, it's way worse than that. And like, you're so far off base. No,
damn. I know. Wait. Yeah. Yes. Yes. And like, once again, we're not doing oppression Olympics, but. On Reddit, because I guess one of the theories was like that he literally had done like domestic violence, and right. They were like, well, what could possibly be worse than domestic violence? Like, based on her story, I was like, I think she just meant the cheating part. I don't think she meant that it was worse than domestic violence.
I know,
but it's obviously like so bad.
Yeah, I mean, it sucks. So bad.
Yeah, I think she's gonna do a sit-down interview with, I pray to God, call her daddy. Call her daddy, but it probably will
it's
be.
It's gonna be call her daddy, which all sucks of so the bad. Love Island people are addicted to call her daddy.
They are addicted to it. She's in a playful mood.
Oh, she's never licked me before.
You say that. You've said that to me before. Okay, should we get into the book?
Yeah, let's get into the book.
Okay.
Let's get into the book that we read for the Patreon because we are Celebrity Memoir Book Club.
I literally said to Hannah, I can't, and I said this on the story, I just can't believe they read one of these every week. It's a time. Well, not only is it a time suck, it's like
it's a brain suck.
It's a brain
suck. This made me dumber.
It's completely.
It didn't make me hate Sheena, but it did make me dumber. Should we say some first impressions off the bat?
She loves music festivals.
She is addicted to music festivals.
Always going to them.
It's like every story takes place at a music festival.
There are a bunch of huge milestones in her life have happened at music
festival.
Kabul. We got to go to Kabul.
She's like constantly falling in and out of love at Kabul.
Kabul. Wait. So, oh, okay.
What?
Is Dee Dee the woman that she like dated?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Right. Dated. Right. Right.
Right. Right. It was a little bit of a mislead. The way that, yes. like, the press before the book that she had been in a relationship with a woman.
She had relations with a woman.
She had kissing relations with a woman.
Yeah. Okay, other impressions for me. She has literally been cheated on in every single one of her relationships.
Yes. She has never had a healthy and successful relationship.
No.
And it's, you know what? And now she doesn't believe in forever.
Yeah, she doesn't seem happy. We'll get there. Do you have any impressions?
My impressions are that she was making a huge attempt in this book to be like, I actually don't do things for attention. It just happens that I get attention for things that I do.
Yeah, that's not true.
And it's just not true. It's like it's transparently untrue.
Yeah.
But I felt endeared towards her reading this book.
Me too.
I didn't feel any kind of like hate towards her at all.
No, me too. She made me laugh. It was like so funny though to like read the things of like happening in Vanderpump Rules just like on the paper and you're like, oh, I guess it's like pretty normal. And then you watch the show and it's like, oh my God.
I know. Like,
people are actually insane.
I know.
It was so funny to like read a book of what we watch.
Well, yes. And also reading this book, I wouldn't read this book and then paint a picture of who I know Sheena to be if I had no other impression of her. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Like if you didn't know Sheena, you wouldn't read this book and like know who she is.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. And
well, some of it is like, yeah, I don't know. We'll get to it. But it is, like, I don't know. She'll say like, well, they wanted to paint me as like the cringeworthy one. And it's like, yes. And there's a reason that you were the cringeworthy
one. It is so yes.
Because like, it's very yes and that it's
like. Because also it's like, I'm reading the book and I'm getting that impression.
Yes. So. Exactly. It's like, yes, they have like, want to have a narrative around everyone on the show. But like, it's because you were giving them the material to turn your narrative like, into the cringe girl.
They need a cringe girl, but. If the shoe fits.
Yeah, exactly.
And the shoe was fitting. Like a fucking glove. Yeah.
Okay. We start with A League of Their Own.
I love.
I feel like I should just read like the first like sentences of every chapter kind of.
Sure.
If there's one thing you should know about me, it's that I've never been a follower. I've always been my own person and someone who forges her own path. But I'm also a natural people pleaser. And there have been times in my life when I felt pressure to fit in order to survive. Let's see what happens.
Okay, basically this is Sheena's like intro chapter where we kind of learn about her backstory. Basically her mom got pregnant at 19.
Yeah.
Because she was dating two guys, which was not unusual for the 80s.
No.
According to Sheena.
So funny for her to say that. It's like, it's not unusual ever.
Also, especially because as we'll learn, she's often dating like 18 guys at once.
I know. I'm like.
And so she was like, yeah, basically like my mom wasn't a slut because it was fine to be dating two guys back then.
I know. I'm like, girl, what the
fuck? And then later she'll be like, and so I was banging six guys from The Bachelor.
We were all living in a house together, by the fucking way.
By the way.
Yes.
But she was dating two guys. One of them was named Raul. He was Mexican. One of them was named Ron. He was white. She got pregnant with Raul. Raul was unfortunately the one that didn't want to have a baby.
Yeah.
But Ron did. So thank God he stepped up.
He was the father who stepped up.
He was the father who stepped up, much like my dad to my siblings. Exactly. So really related there.
Felt really connected to Ron.
And he took care of her ever since she was a baby.
Yes.
She's
like, and like Raul started like kind of being a part of her life when she was like two or something.
Yeah.
And like she'll say like, but he took a major step back to allow Ron to be the ever present father. And it's like, well, you can have two dads.
You can have two
actually,
dads.
Actually, like he didn't need to take a step back for Ron.
She brings that up about somebody else later on.
About Brock later. And it's like,
about Brock later.
That's not how that works.
It's like that the one dad doesn't have to take a step back so the stepdad can step in.
No, y'all can do it all together.
You totally can. But you know what? I'm happy that she views her family unit that way.
I know, but
it's a way like nicer
It made me sad.
Perspective. But yeah.
She had identity issues. Sorry.
Oh, yeah. She did have identity issues. Well, she basically grew up in Azusa, and she grew up in a largely Mexican, I believe, Latinx community. And she got bullied for being kind of like too white.
Yeah, she was kind of like too white for the Mexican kids and too maybe Mexican for the white kids, but maybe not even actually.
I don't even know if there were that many white kids.
But yeah. But and also she was just like, I feel like struggled because she was half Mexican, but being raised by two white people.
Yes. She got bullied kind of crazy style.
She did get bullied crazy style.
Where, like, there were always kids like trying to fight her and stuff, and they like hated her.
Yes.
And she really didn't fit in. Her older cousin got her a beeper, and then people started beeping her.
Yes.
The cop code for murder and also die ho.
Yes. And yes. Sorry. Should I read that part?
Yeah.
Sorry. Okay. Well, the bullies also called me Kiara, I don't know how to say that, Kiara, which is Mexican slang for white girl. Sorry, oh, yeah. It's so funny when people get, it's down here, but it's just funny to me when people get bullied that for is being white.
Interesting, because I've never seen an umlaut in Spanish.
Could be a typo. So she said, my cousin David, who was like my older brother and always protective of me, went behind my parents' back and bought me a pager. All the other kids had one, and I thought that maybe getting it would finally help me blend in. Well, that plan backfired. In the mornings before school, I started receiving pages that read 013403 parentheses die ho in all caps and 187, sorry, which is the cop code for murder. Around that same time, I'd also get threatening notes in class. I'll never forget one that had a hand-drawn picture of a gravestone with my name on it.
Oh, mind you,
there were a lot of gangs in that area, so in my head, those weren't exactly empty threats. It is like, that would be so scary.
Obviously. I know, that would be so scary.
It would be so scary. It would be so scary.
A large part of her narrative during this time was
bullied
like,
and scared for her life.
Was that she like didn't want to tell her family.
Yeah.
So she just like kind of kept quiet about it.
She does that a lot.
Yes. It's just, this is it's not an issue that I have with this book. It's an issue that I have with like myself and the reality TV show and like a consumer of Vanderpump Rules, where I'm like, I've never seen Sheena keep her yap shut about fucking anything.
No, I don't know. That is like something that's very paradoxical here is like, well, this is obviously like different because it's like when she was so much younger, but it's still like she much like later on with her relationships to men, she often will be like, I didn't want to tell anyone because I was embarrassed or whatever.
Yeah.
Which is just so interesting because it's like, it's just a very, to feel that way, which I understand, obviously it's a human way to feel, but then also be on a reality TV show that is like so denigrating is interesting.
I know. I just am like curious to know the reality of the edit. Like, how much is she being manipulated? Like, is her storyline being manipulated? Because she brings up a lot of examples about it. And how much is it that she like honestly does, like, is she being truthful in the book or is she being truthful on the TV? I think it's
somewhere in the middle.
And I know it's somewhere in the middle, but it's just like, I want to know which side it's closer to.
I know. Then they have her younger sister, which also is like, she wanted, because her younger sister was actually like Ron's like biological daughter. It made her feel more like, oh, I don't want to tell them about like the bullying because I just want to be like the perfect daughter and like be a part of the family unit and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Then they switched her to Catholic school.
Yes.
And she did way better.
Well, and sorry, she like got in that fight to like have a clean slate. She like fought that girl after middle school to have a clean slate.
Yeah. She fought her bully. She invited her bully over. They took all their jewelry off and they clotted each other. She gave the girl a black eye.
Yes. So fucking funny.
Also to note, Sheena looked literally fucking awesome during this time.
Yeah, she looked sick as fuck.
She like will bring up in the book how she like, she was like, it's kind of embarrassing, but it was like the look at the time to have the like
fucking cool.
The like
thin eyebrows
and the like lip overline liner lips. She looks so fucking good. Yeah. It's crazy.
Yes. What else? She like gets her driver's license and she gets her damn job at Ralph's.
Yes. Immediately.
Another exciting high school memory was when I got to be a seat filler at the Teen Choice Awards. Phones and cameras. This is when she gets kicked out of the Teen Choice Awards for taking a flash photo of Usher on her disposable camera.
Yes. They said no photos, and as he was walking by, what did she do? Gigantic flash photo.
She's like, and the flash went off. It's like, girl, the flash, when those things don't even turn the fuck off.
Well, so. But also like they do, Sheena, like you could have turned the flash off. It's actually just a little button you have to press up or down.
But then you wouldn't have been able to see Usher in the photo.
So then maybe you shouldn't have taken a photo because she didn't even put the photo in the book. So she doesn't even have it anymore.
That's kind of that. She's just like, she says like, at that age, I was mostly focused on boyfriends and friends. many of whom I'm still close with.
She ended up dating a guy who was a little bit older than her, and she dated him from ages 14 to 20.
Yes.
But he was a little bit of a dick.
Yeah.
And during that time, she had a crush on Shay, Mike Shay, her future husband.
Her future husband.
Because he was a footballer and she was a cheerleader.
Yeah.
And he would drive her to school, but nothing ever happened between them.
Until much later on.
Until much later on.
Okay. Oh, now we're at the Hooters chapter.
We are at the Hooters chapter.
Should I start this one off?
Yeah.
Okay, so basically, Sheena tried to get a job at Hooters. Sorry that I'm laughing already. She was excited to work at Hooters because she just like thought it was like going to be a cool place to work, which makes sense as like she was like a sophomore in college or something.
She says, I was excited because being picked to work at Hooters was considered a status symbol and was another form of the validation I had sought growing up.
Exactly. Sorry. I'm sorry to laugh at her.
It's totally fine. That the reason I highlighted that quote is because it's stupid. Hooters is not considered a status symbol.
But I get what she means.
To like, me, it is. I think it's sick. But
that
like,
age, though, and that time, you were like, well, I'm like really hot because I'm like a Hooters girl.
I know. I know. No, for sure. But also, like, she went to that Christian university.
Yes, she did go to that Christian university.
So like what? It wasn't a status symbol. Whatever. It was a pop culture status symbol.
Anyway, so basically she goes to the, like, I'm in my head, it's an audition, but it is, of course, the job interview. And the guy is like a just like a run of the mill pervert who she doesn't feel is like perverted in the moment, and like has an interview with her. And then is like, come later, you'll come back and you'll try on the uniform to like see if it's a good fit or something. Kind of like Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders.
Mm-hmm. Which is a real thing that they do at Hooters.
Yeah. Of course. It's like wretched, but obviously. And so she like goes back later and tries on the uniform in a trailer that is like one of those like pop-up trailers or whatever that is like not connected to the real Hooters.
What? I thought that the interview was in the trailer and then she was standing kind of in the parking lot behind the trailer.
Is that true?
I think so.
Wait, let me see. Sorry. No, with the trailer door closed and Juan well out of sight, I was fine changing.
Okay, she was in the trailer.
Yeah. I think so. Or maybe she was in a parking lot.
I think she was in a park. I thought she was in a parking lot.
The restaurant was under construction, so all of this went down in a trailer in the parking lot. And of course, he said he would leave the trailer while I changed. Okay. No, she's changing.
Okay. Phew.
But of course, she's in the trailer because it was outside where the cameras have been.
Well, I thought maybe the cameras were mounted onto the trailer and she was standing right under them.
And so then, sorry.
Also, then, like, by the way, the guy's name is Juan Aponte.
Yep.
She makes that very clear.
Juan Aponte. Months later, my doorbell rang one afternoon and police officers were standing on my doorstep. And come to find out that Yao Juan is a sex pest and criminal who was recording all these girls who were interviewing for a job at Hooters. Yeah. And they uncovered all of it.
I think like over 180, they
something
said.
Something like that. Yeah.
I think over 100. He had over 180 it videos of girls changing.
And they were basically that it like became kind of like a news story.
Big news story because the trial lawyer who tried OJ Simpson took on this case.
Yeah. And
Marsha something, I don't remember.
It's not Marsha, it's Gloria Allred. But it would be so funny if it was Marsha Clark. that woman. She not gone through enough. But she basically like talks to the like lawyer and is like kind of becomes one of the faces of the lawsuit. She says, obviously, I wanted to do whatever I could. I was studying broadcast journalism at APU, so I figured that speaking with the media would be an amazing opportunity to apply my classroom lessons to the
right.
To
that's why. Right. And that is why.
It's like you want to be famous.
Totally why you want to be famous.
I mean, the whole book, she like, and she's not shy about it. She keeps saying she has like, she wants to be famous. But it's like, yeah, you want to be on the news. Obviously.
Yeah. I mean, she will go on to say in this chapter, like, I did not do all of those sit-down interviews in New York City because I wanted to be famous. It's because I knew I needed to share my story.
Well, and she's like, I wanted to be a voice for the voiceless women who were embarrassed to come forward about being a Hooters girl.
Yeah, exactly.
As they were dubbed in the media.
Yeah, the Hooters girls. Oh, my God.
It's like, I'm sure she felt amazing for that reason, but you also wanted to be famous, which is fine.
Yeah, but then she gets a little nervous because she didn't want to be famous like this.
Yeah.
She wanted to be a famous actress.
Well, it's so crazy. Like, she'll say time and time again that, like, literally for, like, years into VPR, she still thought that she had a chance at being an actor.
She is, like, saying that now, practically. Like, she keeps, at the end of the book, she's like, there's so many more projects to come.
But I think she has more realistic expectations now that it would be, like, hosting of course it's
I
like,
think she
no,
has a kernel of
course
a kernel of hope for that.
But she
dream.
Literally says, like, it took me many years to realize that, like, that, no, not only that, sorry, wanting to be an actor, to realize that the show wasn't going to help her become an actor.
I know.
And it's like,
when in the history of reality TV has it ever helped somebody become a famous and renowned actor? Never. Not even once.
I don't know. It's like, I understand, because like, I have dreams of like being famous or whatever. And it's like, I understand that you're like, I would do whatever it takes.
Right.
But I would never, not saying I wouldn't be on a reality show, but I would never be delusional enough to think that like, being on a reality show would lead to me getting like an opportunity to be like a famous actor.
Yeah. I understand it more when VPR first started, because it actually was a different time. Of and course. Like reality stars were kind of a much different beast back then.
But then you see but how they're then like ending
you,
it.
You've been on it. You season 7, you're still
literally,
thinking that?
That's it's like what she's saying.
It's like 2018.
Girl,
no. Wake up. 2019 even.
It's crazy. It's crazy. Okay. Do you want to do season
8? Wait, sorry. It's literally like 2020.
It's like 2020 because like it started in like 2014, yeah. 2013. So it's like,
yeah. Okay.
Do you want to take the other woman?
Yeah. Okay. This chapter is the other woman. The other woman. Sheena has been the other woman, basically, famously.
So many times.
This season. Sorry. Whoa. She kind of opens this by telling us about a lot of tragedy that happened in her life. Kind of like day, like just an awful period of time.
Yeah.
Which is that her papa, who was her grandpa, died in April of her senior year of high school. Her oma died 3 days before her high school graduation. Her opa died on July 4th this same year. Gina, her best friend, died a couple years later of breast cancer, which sucks at age 23.
Yeah.
So young. And then her uncle Marty was murdered around the same time as her friend Gina died. He was, I think, robbed and shot outside of a 7-Eleven.
Yeah. And he had been like living with her family.
Yes. So that was like a really, really dark and destructive time for her. How does she transition that to the next? Just that she moved to Hollywood.
Basically,
literally my next note is like,
pursue my dream.
My next note says, started dating Eddie from the Cigar Club.
No, that literally is what happens. It's literally her being
thought
like,
I must have missed something, but I don't think so.
No, it's literally her being like, like, he's actually like, horrifying and depressing things happened to me one after another, and then I just like had to go live in LA to pursue my dreams. I think basically she was like, I just wanted to get out of Azusa because all this bad shit was happening.
Yeah,
to me.
Which makes sense. I totally get it.
But then she's like, literally from, so I moved to Hollywood, never anticipating just how drastically this decision would change my life forever. I first laid eyes on Eddie Cipriani.
It's like, crazy it's like, to open with all of that devastation, and then this chapter actually is about her affair with a married
man. That could have gone at the end of last chapter, and this one could have opened up at the Cigar Club.
Yeah,
but
we could have just opened.
Who
with
am I to say? I'm not the writer that she fired because it.
They leaked your information about her husband's cheating scandal.
Like going dark on social media.
You know, that woman had a mental health crisis, and so she had to soft block Sheena on Instagram.
That is literally so funny.
It makes me laugh much. She was like, well, it couldn't have been my mom or my sister, so I guess it had to be the ghostwriter I hired.
And then when I brought it up, she immediately blocked me on Instagram and had a mental health crisis. Okay. Sorry, back to Eddie.
So she started dating Eddie Cipriani.
I have no idea. Cipriani is what I've been saying. That like doesn't sound right.
Cipriani. Who is obviously married to Brandy Glanville from The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. She currently has a worm in her face, and she and Eddie are divorced.
Yeah, she is divorced. Her man left her for Leanne Rimes, and she has a flesh-eating worm in her face.
She's got a new man, a worm in her face.
She's got her new man. It is a worm in her face. He moved in.
Yeah, he did. And she actually can't get him the fuck out.
I know.
She's been trying. And it's like doctors are like, hey, girl, that's not a worm. That's your filler.
I know.
She's like, but I can see it moving around.
It's a worm.
I'm so nervous for her. Anyways.
She's not doing well.
Well, Sheena started dating her husband.
Yeah.
they met at the Cigar Club where Sheena worked, which is like, obviously, we've talked about it on here. Such a gross place to work.
It would smell so bad
all the time.
It literally is like so gross to imagine.
And I'm sure that the men were absolutely awful.
Literally. As I mentioned last time, she literally said Eddie's like the only one who would make eye contact with her.
Yes. I'm sure they were muttering disgusting things under their breath and looking away from her.
Of course.
But she started dating Eddie from the Cigar Club, and they were together and they were happy, but they were like not seeing each other like exclusively. They were just kind of like hanging out, hooking up once a week, whatever. But she did really like him. Mm-hmm. And then she found out that he actually had a wife with a baby on the way because her mom read it in the newspaper.
There's so many things where it's her mom being like, girl, you gotta wake up. I know. Like so many things. It's literally crazy.
Her mom called her and was like, wait, wasn't that guy helping us move stuff into your apartment?
She was like, our families are coming together. Like, we all hung out. And then her mom's like, that man I met, like, is in the paper.
Yeah, oh, that man is in the paper and he's having a baby. And then she was like, when she found that out, she was like, this is not, I can't fucking do this, whatever. She broke up with him. And he was really sad and he didn't want it to end. He said he was separating even though they were having a baby.
Yes.
And then she avoided her Tuesday shift at the cigar club for 6 months mm-hmm. because that's when she would see him. And then she had to pick one up and they saw each other and they got back together and they fucked and whatever. And he said, this time for real. Was like,
I'm actually leaving her this
time. I'm going to leave her for real.
For real.
And then they went to Mammoth together and he taught her how to snowboard mm-hmm. and he told her he loved her.
Yes.
And while they were in Mammoth, he got a call from Leanne Rimes and Sheena was like, that's so fucking cool. Yeah. I love Leanne Rimes.
So funny. I couldn't believe it. I was such a Leanne Rimes fan growing up. It's like the man that you are cheating, that you're cheating with on his wife is cheating on you with Leanne Rimes. So funny. Holy shit.
And then the Leanne Rimes scandal broke and she did break up with him. And she was so fucking pissed that she let her friend tell the tabloids that that like he was still with her, even though he was with Leanne Rimes or whatever.
They like, yeah, like leaked a story about how like he like went over to her house or something.
Yeah, she likes to leak a story.
Oh, and she's like, my friend did that. I'm like,
my friend,
you, girl, you did that.
You did that.
She's like, I let my friend. I'm like,
okay.
Why wouldn't you do it yourself?
And then she had to sign a legal document that Eddie Cibrian was like, hey, I didn't do that. And you signed this piece of paper. It was a lie. She lied. She was like, my friend said it happened. It didn't. By the way.
My imaginary friend.
And then so she did have to go sign that thing.
No, I think she decided not to because she was like, I actually got scared because they were like,
No, I thought she wore. I thought she went into the office. There were two different things.
Okay, wait. Yeah, no, there were two different things. It was that the first thing was that they asked her to sign a document verifying that, like the tabloid asked her to sign a document verifying that it happened because his lawyers had gone over after the tabloid, and she didn't do that because she was scared. She didn't want to confirm like a false story.
She signed the one for Eddie.
Yeah, but then Eddie wanted her, his lawyer wanted her to sign a thing saying that she hadn't been with him while he'd been with Leanne.
Which is like, who cares? Because he was already cheating on Brandy with Leanne. Why does it matter if you're cheating on your mistress with your second mistress?
It's like so funny.
I don't
know. Obviously, he was like, I'm sure cheating on, had a bunch of girlfriends.
Yeah, there were a million little Sheenas running around.
Duh.
Oh my god. She puts. Why did I
appease him? Because I'm a fucking people pleaser.
Oh my god, she loves to call herself a people pleaser.
I know. I don't know if that's what you are.
I'm not sure that's what you have.
You have something.
You've got something, but it's not quite that.
It's not quite that.
And then
it's like we can't just like keep calling ourselves people pleasers.
I know.
Like, we have to stop.
I really resist that label for me, and it's been hoist upon me before. Well,
because it's like, doesn't everyone,
yes,
like most people have the instinct to be a people pleaser?
Well, that's how you go about the world.
Yeah, anyway,
that's how you exist in the world. Anyways, then she she was still working at the cigar club after she and Eddie ended things at, well, Eddie ended things with her basically.
Like via his lawyer,
literally.
She literally was like, I never saw him again. I only talked to his like lawyer.
No, I know. Which does that. I would feel sad. They were seeing each other for a while, like 2 years.
Yeah. From like even more from 2006 to 2009.
Yeah. There were breaks
like,
in
on
between,
and off,
but
of course, not like that, whatever. But it is like, that's a lot of time to know someone.
It's a lot of time to know somebody and be sleeping with them.
Yeah.
But she quickly found someone new. And that somebody allegedly, not according to him, is fucking John Mayer.
She's not lying.
She's not lying. 100%
he denies.
I know. It makes me laugh so much.
Wait, this is like about a night when they hung out. That particular night, my friend Jordan was over as I was living with my cousin Tara. That's, we don't need to know that.
There's a lot of we don't need to know that's
like
in her here.
Being like, well, Jordan was there because my cousin lived with my cousin. It's like, that doesn't matter.
Okay.
Jordan could have been there whether or not you're living with your cousin.
You don't even need to say Jordan's name. No. So you certainly don't need to say Tara's.
Jordan was an aspiring musician, and I remember John coming over with his friend Melvin and borrowing his guitar so he could play us a song while we all drank some Newcastle and hung out, like, LOL.
I know that happened.
In 2009, like, holy shit. You'd be like, this is the coolest thing that's ever happened.
Of course. And he's in your, like, busted ass Hollywood apartment.
Literally.
He is.
With your cat, Penny Lane.
No offense. He is so weird for that.
Oh, he's weird for a lot of stuff.
I know. He's so weird for so much stuff. But it is like, why are you picking up girls at the cigar club and going back to their apartments and playing guitar for their cousins?
I don't know.
Stop.
For their cousin's friend, Tara. Or whatever the fuck.
But then the tabloids learned about it, and he broke up with her. And
now he denies ever knowing her. Actually. Yeah. He's like, he literally said, like, I've never been in a room with that woman or something.
And then you know what she did? She went to the tabloids again and was like, it is true. It is
like,
true.
Girl, the book's coming out. Just
but
wait.
But then she lost her job because of it. Because he was technically a member at the club.
Oh, yeah,
and you're not
that
allowed to
suck.
Sleep with a member of the club.
That literally sucked. That sucks so bad. I would literally wrote damn.
But at the end of that chapter, she says something crazy, right? Like, if it wasn't for John Mayer, I never Vanderpump Rules
would
have never happened.
Yeah, I literally wrote because then she gets her job at Villablanca. I mean, there's so many like pithy internet things that she keeps saying, and one of them is like, I think she even has a chapter called the butterfly effect, because she literally is obsessed. It's like, the butterfly effect is not that, like, because you dated John Mayer for 6 months, like, Vanderpump Rules exist.
Yeah, but it's not that, you know what I mean?
It's not that, but it's like,
it's not in the way that it's not in the way that she's assigning significance to it.
Well, also, it's supposed to be like one tiny thing happens, and it's like, you dating John Mayer actually isn't like a tiny event. That,
no,
like,
it's not. No, it's out. Not.
It's not the flap of a butterfly's
wings. Yes. Like, yeah, and it's like 100 million other things could have landed you a job at Villablanca as well.
Of course.
You would have gotten there eventually, I believe.
I agree. Okay, so then, yeah, we're on chapter five,
the butter knife effect.
Afflect. And yeah, she moves into her own apartment with her cat Penny Lane.
Oh my god, it's all happening. You know that's from that movie.
Yeah. It's her favorite. She meets this guy. She meets Colin. So she was he
was not a bartender at Villablanca, but he was a bartender at her. The way I have this book on lock in my mind.
I know so much about her.
He was a bartender at like a local bar, and he was near her apartment that she used to go to all the time.
Okay, because this is the thing, is that she's trying to date normal guys, which is like so fucking funny. She keeps saying it
because she can't stop dating celebrities.
He had a regular job, but was still cool.
Yep.
and in the scene with a natural swagger, it's like, he had a regular job, but he was still cool.
Also, it's like, that's what a bartender is.
Yeah. So she's like, I said to myself, okay, Sheena, you've tried dating or at least hanging out and hooking up with all of these celebrities. Jesse Metcalf, Eddie Cibrian, John Mayer, Shamar Moore.
Sorry. You know Shamar Moore?
Yeah. John Hopkins, Shane West, Jesse McCartney, JC Chazes, Adrian Grant. Like, literally just a long ass list, and is like, it's time for me to be normal.
Jesse McCartney.
What? I mean, it is like, what a time to be alive.
I know.
Well,
also during that time, it was like Lindsay Lohan's like sex lists were leaking, and it was like every celebrity guy you've ever seen in the world. That's a time when like hooking up was like way less private than it is now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's
so
sick.
Yeah. I know. It's I mean, it would be like hell in so many ways, but so fun to like be in, to be able to like transport back to like this scene in Hollywood in like 2000, like, nine. I would be like, oh my god, the
well,
things
there
people
was
would
like,
be wearing.
There was like
the scarves.
I know. And the hats. And
I know the,
glasses.
The hats.
There was just like little enough like, not like social media, but like press.
Well, it was
that
like
these people,
tabloid culture was crazy.
Yeah, but that like these celebrities were like going out and like hooking up with just like bottle girls.
Yeah,
like random bottle
girls.
Yeah. And they can't do that anymore because they'll get their shit on blast.
They will get their shit on blast.
But back then it was like, you hook up with Sheena Shea in 2008. It's like, you're not going to get your shit on blast for 20 plus years.
Until she writes her damn memoir.
Yeah.
I love that. That is literally the butterfly effect, by the way.
That's
okay.
The butterfly effect. That's the butter knife effect.
That's the butter knife effect. So she like starts seeing this guy Colin, and then he like kind of cheats on her. They like, she's like, we weren't boyfriend and girlfriend, but he like,
it was cheating enough.
It was cheating enough, which is like, well,
he made out with another girl right in front of her face.
Yeah, which she is kind of a special of hers down the line.
I know.
But she like, he basically then after she's like, this is over, like, blah, 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 he's like, I was just so like nervous and insecure because you date all these celebrity guys like Eddie Cibrian, and I don't think that you actually want someone normal.
Yeah.
And so he says that he cheated on her because she doesn't want a normal guy. One which of the is fucking so stupid,
oldest
obviously.
Tricks in the book.
Me speaking ill of the dead, but it is so oh, fucking stupid.
No, I know, but it is so stupid. And
it's so stupid.
It's like everybody's had that happen to them. Well, a lot of people have had that happen to them.
I'm not a good enough guy for you.
I'm not a good enough guy for you.
Okay, relax.
You don't want someone like me.
You don't understand.
You don't.
I'm weird. I'm a weirdo.
I'm just gonna fuck your life up.
Literally. And so then she like also does one of her favorite things, which is she like breaks up with a guy and then goes on a trip to like hook up with someone and make him mad, which is like so funny.
She wants to get with one of his best friends.
It's so funny. It's like.
To live your life that way is hilarious.
And she keeps doing
it. She does it forever.
It's so
crazy. She is still doing it, basically.
As you said, has literally never had a healthy relationship.
No, never. Never, ever.
It's, like, so crazy.
She's constantly wanting to be, seeking revenge.
I know. And she is, like, so much less like that than so many other people on the show. Like,
I know.
The thing about this is, like, with her that's so funny is that, like, it's, like, closer to normal in a way that makes it even crazier because I'm like, there are just like people who do this.
I know, but people like the VPR cast is not being like, they're not like fucking each other for revenge. Sheena is like fucking people for revenge.
Yeah.
They are just like stabbing each other in the back.
Yeah.
And she doesn't really want to do that because she wants to be the most popular.
Yeah. I guess that's true. But I feel like but it's just so crazy.
I don't know. I mean, it is crazy.
It's just like a crazy way to be.
She's a crazy little girl.
She is literally crazy. It would be so fun to know her back then, but.
I know.
She's like seeking her revenge. She. Once again, she's like the butterfly effect at work. If Colin had not kissed that girl at the bar, I wouldn't have gone to Vegas that weekend to get back at him by banging his best friend. And
yeah,
I never
banging.
And because she reconnects with Shay in Vegas.
Yeah.
When she like goes on her revenge trip. And she's like, it didn't work out with me and Colin, but I liked Shay a lot and I was still looking for my normal guy.
Yeah, my normal guy. My normal guy.
I was still looking for my normal guy. But then when Colin saw her with Shay, he realized that she actually didn't want someone who was famous and wants her back
because
she
really,
is dating normal guys.
He really regretted it.
He did really regret it.
I'm sorry. It's not funny. It is not funny.
Well, it's obviously he didn't kill himself because of her.
Well, that's why she framed it. 100%. She thinks that bad.
Yeah. I mean, she's like, basically he goes on to commit suicide. Die by suicide, I think is the politically correct way to say it. But
oh, really?
I get it. Who the fuck cares?
What?
Sorry.
Who the fuck cares for real? It's saying the same. And guess what? The bad word is still in there. Suicide.
They say that it's like died by suicide is like, it's like, I actually can't get into it. And know that I wanted to kill myself for 3 years straight so I can say things like these. But this, like things such as this. But yeah, basically he was like mentally ill, obviously.
Yeah, of course. And he was, I think, suffering from like extreme depression.
Yeah. And she said that he had like threatened like before to like do like hurt himself. I don't think he'd ever said like, I'm like going to like take my own life or whatever. But yeah he killed himself on Mulholland Drive.
Yeah.
A beautiful place to go out.
Seriously.
And literally. And for a long time, she felt really angry at him and she couldn't drive down Mulholland Drive. And then she used to see suicide as a selfish act, and then her friend had to explain to her that it wasn't.
Yes.
She's like, Sheena, think about the mindset a mutual friend said to me about someone else who took their life. Sheena, think about the mindset she must have been in. She was in such a dark place that she wasn't thinking about her kids or her family. That definitely changed my view. I finally understood how scary and difficult it must have been.
What,
in her
Sheena?
And Colin's heads to push. It's like that. Someone had to explain
time,
to you.
And you're like 26 years old.
Like, come on, girl.
Come on. But now she takes suicide super
Very seriously.
Any kind of suicidal ideation, she is like.
Not a fucking joke.
That is
to
not
her.
A joke. That is to be taken.
Massively seriously.
Extremely seriously.
Yeah. And she has like a sweet moment where she's like driving on Mulholland Drive and a song, I think I Love You Man, comes on, which is like one of the movies that they watch at his place or something. And she was like, I felt like Colin was watching over me, which was really sweet.
Yeah, it is sweet. I mean, and she does a really sweet job of honoring his memory in this book. He comes up a bunch of times.
Yeah. Every year on his birthday and the day he passed, she does a shot of Jameson for him.
Because that's what they used to do together.
Yeah. She's like, I was such a whiskey girl.
Yeah.
She's so funny.
Such a whiskey girl.
But R.I.P. Colin, you would have loved My Good Side.
Yeah, you would have. And you would have loved Vanderpump Rules as well.
You would have. You missed
you
out.
You normal guy. You normal guy, you.
Sorry. If I killed myself, I would want people to be laughing about it.
Me too.
About me.
I would hope so.
I pray to God.
But we don't know what
he know what he was like.
I have no idea what he was like.
He could have been far more serious, less jovial than I.
Actually, almost no description of like his character.
No, there's not at all.
Just a regular guy with a little bit of swagger. Yeah.
He was a normal guy, but he was still cool. It's like, okay.
It's literally hard to do for her, though, to be a normal guy and still be cool.
It is hard. It's hard.
I'm literally shocked that she ever found Michael Shea to be that way.
That guy is a loser.
Yeah, like, ultimately he's a loser.
Like in his little band.
We learned that from this book.
But it's not like she's much cooler than him, but it's interesting. Shay is interesting.
But also it's hard because is hot and Michael Shea was not.
I know. I think she really just like wanted to be like married.
She does have like a strong connection to her hometown and her hometown roots.
And I think she was like, this guy won't hurt me.
This guy won't hurt me. We're both from Azusa. He met my papa.
Which boy was that not the motherfucking
huge
case.
Huge mistake. Huge
hurt you worse than anyone else.
Yeah, literally. Literally.
Do you want to do season 6? Or oh my God.
I said season it's 2. Fine. Season 6, Almost Famous.
Penny Lane.
Penny Lane. There's a lot of Penny Lane. In her life.
There is a lot of Penny Lane.
Almost Famous. So she got fired from the Cigar Lounge, but then she started working at Villa Blanca. Lisa wasn't a housewife yet, but she was extremely scary and super particular, which actually just sucks because then she's just a bitchy boss and she's not even famous.
Well, she said that she got a lot nicer once the show started, which is so fucking funny.
It makes total sense though, because like one, she's on camera, and two, she didn't have time.
Well, yeah, she's like with the show, like she has to pretend that she like actually gives a shit about those people and wants to like mentor them or whatever.
Yes. And it's like her staff is her babies.
Literally.
Once the cameras go up. She said something interesting, which is that she worked at Villa Blanca even after she married Shay.
Yeah.
Because she used to work nights, either days at Villa Blanca and nights at Sir, or nights at Villa Blanca and days at Sir. I think nights at Sir. But she would like go from one job to the next one. And she was the only one who worked at the restaurant for so long.
I know. I mean, there are a lot of parts of this where I'm like, what the fuck are your finances?
I know.
Fucked beyond.
Especially because like the other ones just don't seem to be in the same kind of like struggle boat that she is.
I think they are.
Oh, you think they are?
I mean, I think that like Lala is like, I think.
Oh,
that,
well,
like,
Lala certainly is. She lives in like a condo with her entire family.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But I think the ones who have kids are.
Yeah, that's true.
I think like.
But Tom and Ariana bought that massive house.
Yeah, but they had double income.
Yeah.
And didn't have kids. But when she says that in 2020, Tom had to loan her money.
I already knew that. Yeah, Tom had to send her a couple $1,000 during the pandemic. Like, I know.
What the fuck?
I know. I don't know. Her financial situation was constantly having me on edge because I'm nervous for her.
Me too. And it's just confusing because like she doesn't seem like I guess she travels a lot, but it's like,
yeah,
she's not.
She doesn't
like,
seem like a big spender though in that way. I mean, she bought a house in San Diego and she has a penthouse in Hollywood.
She's not like on Instagram being like, look at all my designers. It's like, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. I don't know.
Well, I think they just like didn't get paid that much for the show.
I think so too.
And then like the demotion thing was crazy, obviously.
Yeah.
Just fucking sucks.
Yes. But anyways, she worked at Villa Blanca even after she married Shay, but everybody at Villa Blanca was friends and it was really fun. It was like the opposite of Sir, basically.
I know.
They would like party all the time together. Like after Villa Blanca would close down, they would like stay in the restaurant and like smoke weed and drink, and Pandora would be there with her husband Jason, who would be DJing and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Which actually sounds so fucking fun. Like literally so fun. And everybody got along. It was like family vibes. And then she went over to Sir. Like she had to work a brunch at Sir, where she had to work some kind of event at Sir.
Yeah, I don't know.
Which is where she first encountered Brandy.
Yes.
She like walked in and she was like, holy shit, Brandy is here.
Yeah.
And then like was like trying to talk to Stassi about it. And then Stassi was like, you're a whore. Mm-hmm. And then Lisa was like, what are you doing? Go serve Brandy. And
Lisa she like sets her the fuck up.
No. And then she makes her go over there. And then everybody's talking about it, blah, 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 blah. Yep. And everybody's mean to her. And like, Sir sucks. Sir sucks, basically. And everybody was calling her a homewrecking whore. And
I know.
Then like the show started, basically.
Yeah. We have this part in here where she denies her plastic surgery.
Oh, yeah. If she had a surgeon, she'd be shouting him out.
I did this, but she's had a facelift.
Yeah,
her face is so tight.
Face is super, super tight.
Yeah, then the show starts. And she was like hoping, like in the beginning of this chapter, she talks about how she was like had been on The Hills one time, and how like, as we all know, famously, The Hills is like so scripted and whatever. Yeah. And so she was like expecting and hoping that VPR would be like that. Yes. That, like, because she was like had an experience where they were like fighting and then the cameras went down and Heidi Montag was like, oh, you know, it's just for the show. Like, yeah. Sorry that I had to say that to you, whatever.
Yeah.
And she's like, that was not the case. Like,
it's so, so funny. It's so funny to imagine her too. Like, cameras go down and she's like, whew, long day at work, Stassi. And Stassi's like, fuck you, bitch. You homeworking or die.
Literally. What else?
Oh, when the show started, she said that Lisa would call her all times of day to try and like influence her to do the kind of stuff that she wanted on camera. Yeah. Or to like tweet specific things.
Yes.
To tweet stuff. Because like one time a housewife said that that Lisa smelled like cigarettes. And then I guess Lisa fucking wanted Sheena to tweet and be like, my boss Lisa does not smell like roses and dandies
or whatever the fuck. Yeah. She basically said that like for a lot of the like early seasons of Sir, she was like, or of VPR, she was like, just do whatever Lisa wanted. And then like, as we see over time, like she like feels like their relationship deteriorated because she stopped just like doing everything she wanted essentially.
Yeah. But she still kind of did. She would like stand up to her in little ways.
Yeah.
But she never like took a big stand against her. Never.
But the little stand that she would take like to Lisa cut deep as like.
Yeah, absolutely. Deep. Huge betrayal.
Yeah.
I mean, Lisa is a Stassi.
Yes.
And at the end of the day. So when like she tells Sheena that Sheena needs to defend James in a staff meeting because James called Katie fat and everybody's mad at him and Sheena doesn't do it, like that's going to set Lisa the fuck off. She's going to be really mad about that.
Literally. Yeah. He told me that their goal was to feature people in the service industry who are trying to make it in the entertainment world and that they'd follow me on auditions and whatever else I was passionate about. That sounded appealing to me. It would take years for me to realize that this wasn't the case.
Oh my God.
Years. Girl.
Years.
She literally will say in the book, like, they didn't ever talk about my creative pursuits or my podcast until season 11. It's like, dude, girl, why the fuck did you think they were going to, like,
talk about your podcast? How would they even work that into the show? That's not even on them. That's on you. Why would they bring up shenanigans?
I know. She is hurt that they don't want shenanigans.
She is devastated. And she's always like, my award-winning podcast. And then she's like, my podcast got canceled.
And it's like, if the podcast is award-winning, why did Tom have to Venmo you $3,000 during the pandemic? Like,
I know.
What the fuck?
I know.
Oh my God.
Oh, it's so funny. Also, it's like, Sheena, they weren't lying to you. Like, they did want to follow people who were pursuing a career in the entertainment
world.
And
they did.
And they picked people who they knew it wouldn't work out for.
It is like, girl, think about how much they featured your fucking music career at the beginning.
Literally.
But it was with the purpose of humiliating you.
Also, it's like, I'm sorry, Sheena. Sheena, I'm loving you after this book. I can't believe you ever thought you would have ever been a successful actress.
I don't know how. The acting thing for these people is the part that gets me for real. Because, music is one thing. Modeling and singing. Modeling,
you just can have face. That. You can have that.
Music, completely subjective. And also, like, you just need to work with the right people.
Exactly.
But for these type of people to think that they would be good at acting.
Well, that's why they latch onto acting so badly. Because it's, like, it's the only, like, tangible, real skill.
I know.
And so they want it so bad to prove that they're, like, valid.
It's just, like, unbelievable. But, yeah.
I know.
What else? She begged Ariana to come on the show.
Oh, yeah, because she wanted a friend. Oh. Also, we learned that Kristen cheated on Tom with Jax, James, and one of Tom's other bandmates. And also, course, we already know that, like, a bunch of people from Sir.
Wait,
also,
sorry, there were plenty of times where Kristen would show up at Villa Blanca when I was bartending with Tom or Ariana. She'd sit at the end of the bar, drink wine, and just watch us interact with each other, her, like, doing her leering.
Yeah.
He's like, I can feel her presence.
I can feel your dark energy in your presence. I love Kristen. That's so funny. She's such a freak. I love that she's doing that kind of thing off camera, and it's, like, obviously she is.
But it's so funny.
So funny that kind of girl exists in real life.
I know.
I would love to meet one day.
I know. I would love to meet Kristen.
I would love to meet Kristen too. You know what? I have girls like that who come into my restaurant. I have one guy who's like a regular and he brought his girlfriend when they were dating and now they've broken up and she shows up almost every day in insane lip liner and sometimes with another guy just like sitting and looking around the restaurant. God. And it's so crazy.
It is people with like a lot of free time.
Yeah. It's people with a ton of free time.
Yeah. Season chapter 7, The Vow. So for the first two seasons of VPR, I was dating and then became engaged to Shay. While I didn't realize it at the time, I was kind of going through the motions of life I thought I was supposed to, not only as a young woman who wanted to become a wife, but also as a reality star who needed to keep the show interesting. Okay, whatever. Anyway, so this is about like her and Shay. They got married in 2014. What else?
They got married on TV. Every single thing that possibly could have gone wrong went wrong.
Literally every single thing that she basically also is saying that, like, she had a bad feeling about the marriage.
Yes.
And it's like, well, of course. There were obviously a bunch. Like, I'm sure that it was clear as fucking day that he was addicted to pills. Well, it was. She, like, literally lays it out.
She says all the time, like, I knew that he really liked Vicodin. His specialty was Vicodin and beer, but, like, everybody was doing pills back then. Like, everybody was had their drug of choice.
No, she doesn't say everyone was doing pills. She says everyone had their drug of choice.
And everyone had their drug of choice.
I'm sorry, but if you are taking Vicodin with beer, like, there is something wrong.
That's different than
even just taking Vicodin.
Than the ecstasy and cocaine that your friends are doing.
Literally. It is.
It is.
It is different.
And then she said, she was like, even I tried a Vicodin and a beer one time.
She's like, she like tries to explain to Lisa too.
Extra buzzy. I know.
Like, it's fun because you just get that extra buzz. You don't have to drink as much, which I tried to explain to Lisa once and she did not think that was normal. Yeah. Like, yeah, girl.
Oh my God.
Yeah, she's like, she basically talks about how every fucking possible thing went wrong at their wedding, which we will see in a couple
weeks. So excited, literally.
She was like, in hindsight, I wonder if I would have cared, knowing, like, if I'd been marrying the right guy. I think he would have cared. She's a control freak.
Yeah, you would have. I think she would have cared too, no matter what. I don't know if she would have cared as much as she cared, because really freaked it.
Yeah, she did freak it. She was like, I couldn't admit this fully at the time, but I knew something was off. Like, well, she, like, but it's like,
and she was stressed out because she, like, begged him to stay sober at the wedding and she, like, wasn't hanging out with him. I'm sure that she was, like, anxious that he was drinking or
that
he was taking beers and Vicodins.
I knew something was off. It's like, you knew that he was addicted to drugs. Yeah. You just, like, didn't want to admit it to yourself or others.
Yeah.
Yeah. Come to find out that Tom Sandoval literally drugged Shay on ecstasy at their wedding.
Dude, that is so psychotic and evil. It's, like,
literally so sick and fucking twisted.
Because you are, number one, giving a drug addict pills on his wedding. But then he's trying to take
ecstasy. Is crazy.
Ecstasy is crazy different from Adderall. And Sheena is like, he was just trying to take Adderall to stay up longer. And it's like, no, he's taking Adderall because he's addicted to Adderall. Pills, yeah. But still,
I know, we're saying that it's like, girl, queen.
Still, it's like, that is really, really bad. Tom Sandoval.
Sorry. Also, Sandoval actually set him up twice because he gave him ecstasy and then was like, now Shay had been supposed to do
this
a performance.
This was so mean.
Shay had been supposed to do a performance was so at the mean. Wedding, and then it, like, got fucked because everything got fucked. And so then they're like, at the after party, Sandoval's like, Shay will do his little song now,
Shay's
and he's like,
do his little
high
song.
On drugs, like, or on ecstasy. Sheena's watching him. She's like, he looked like fucked up. He's like, that is evil as fuck.
She was like, his eyes were so glassy and he couldn't talk.
And he, like, couldn't stand up straight.
And he couldn't stand up. He was rolling.
What else? She was like, the honeymoon was actually fun, but he then, like, stole her pills from the dentist. She shortly thereafter had to go to the dentist to have a small surgery. It's not what you said in the past.
That is not what you said on the show.
She, like, confronts him and he just, like, denies it, and then she chooses to believe him.
Yeah, it happens like time and time again. I mean, that happens with addicts. That's
that,
like, the classic.
With everyone in this book, not just the addicts.
But it happens with everybody in this book. But she just, like, I don't know. She just,
like, steals
really, really, really turning a blind eye.
Literally. And then,
oh my God, Becky Butterfly. Okay. The butterfly effect.
That's the butterfly. That's the butterfly effect. Oh my gosh. Okay, so then she is, like, on her phone and she gets, like, a Twitter notification from a woman named Becky Butterfly, and she goes to her Twitter and there's nothing there. To be Sheena Shay, have your Twitter your notifications on for Twitter is also, like,
so
a
crazy
mental illness, but whatever. Yeah. And she, like, realizes, like, oh, like, Shay logged into his, like, Twitter on my phone a while ago, like, maybe this is someone he is DMing. And she, like, goes to his account and there are messages between him and Becky Butterfly, who I went onto her profile and saw that she was a roughly 300-pound BBW, parentheses, big beautiful woman, porn star. Her profile was of her doggy style ass to the camera in a thong. Immediately I started freaking out. I was thinking, oh my God, does my husband have some weird fetish? Okay.
Okay.
Not too much, Sheena.
Okay.
That I don't know about. Is he cheating on me? I had intentionally decided to marry a normal person because I was done with unreliable, unfaithful. It's like,
why do you think that normal men can't be unreliable and
also
unfaithful?
Your husband's not normal. He's addicted to pills. Sorry.
Yes, also it's that. Like, also that.
Yeah, he lies to you about a bunch of stuff.
He lies to you about everything.
Like,
and his affinity for BBW's big, beautiful women porn stars.
Literally. That part I actually was like, stop.
That part is laughing out loud. The way she had to tell us what BBW is, it's like, we know.
Some people reading this don't.
Yeah, yes, that's true.
This was so fucking funny. yeah, she like doesn't, the person she tells is her mom. And her mom is like, you have to confront him.
Oh, because she was about to leave for Watch What Happens Live in New York.
She confronts him and he denies it.
He's like, that's a fan. That's a fan.
That, yeah. Becky Butterfly is my fan. It's like, Becky Butterfly definitely has more Twitter followers than you, Shay.
Literally.
She's like, sure, has more money than you, too.
And she's like, what? Okay, so if she's a fan, why are all the messages deleted?
Yeah.
Because, you know, remember when on Twitter, if you would delete a message, it would say, like, this deleted. Message has been deleted? Yeah. She's like, there were a bunch of them.
But then another thing happens that is like, it actually is like her life is kind of a series of humiliations when you write it all out. But so like through a series of unfortunate events, Shay had lost his phone or broken his phone. And so her younger sister, Courtney, gave him her phone to use. Sucks
because Courtney was 15.
17, but awful. 17. Yeah. And then like she's like over at Courtney's and like iMessages like basically from Shay are like popping up on Courtney's computer while they're like there together. And it's like her, it's him cheating on her again with like
it's
another.
It's him like sexting a woman. Oh, it's like, it's seeming like a girl, first of all.
Let's see.
The way they describe her.
It's like, yeah, a girl with like pink hair or something.
Oh, pink hair.
I don't know.
I thought it said like pigtails or something. But that was, I guess, just me being perverse.
A cute Hispanic girl with pink streaks in her hair.
Okay.
You in your head. She's like, she's
a child.
A child with pigtails. Yeah, so he cheats on her again.
He cheats
on
her
once again. Says it's a fan. That
it's like okay.
Why would you be texting a fan?
Why would you be texting a fan? I wish you were on top of me right now.
And then he says it was just an emotional affair, never physical. It's like, that's not better.
No, it's not because
she lived in Florida and was married.
And it's like, you would have loved to make that physical if she wasn't living in Florida and married.
Of course.
Duh.
And she says, like, this is the thing she'll say time and time again is like, in order to save face, especially in front of like Courtney, I decided to let it go again. It's way less embarrassing to not let it go.
I know. It's really embarrassing. And it sets a pretty bad example for your 17-year-old sister to be like looking at those text messages together and then being like, actually, forgive him.
Yes.
I think I'm going to let that one go.
Yes. Come on.
Don't. Stand up for yourself.
So then basically like production kind of like pressures her into like bringing it to the show. She like, they want her to admit something. They know something's off, but she brings up the cheating in, or no.
She brings up she the brings pills, up the instead, pills of the instead of
the cheating.
Which is because why she it's like, did I, she do that?
That is like so much more humiliating for him.
It's really, really, really I much felt more really vulnerable.
Fucking bad for Shay.
Me too. It's way more vulnerable to bring up the addiction, the pill addiction, than it is the cheating.
I agree.
It's just and like,
I think she tries to say like that it she covered that up for him, and I'm like, I that to me seems like one like
no she covered you. That up for herself for obviously you. She didn't want to admit to being cheated on,
yeah,
so she kind of threw her husband under the bus in that way, and it's like, you should have tried to handle that privately, obviously, and if you needed a storyline for the show, it should have been the cheating thing.
Yeah, of course. And so then like basically a couple times Shay just like does not come home, which is like crazy. Sorry, a few weeks later, Shay and I host a Halloween party at Sir in partnership with a French champagne brand called Frenet. What the fuck? Like, there are sentences in here that I'm like, what the actual fuck?
Also,
the proper nouns in this story are crazy.
I know.
Kaboo.
She just handles the whole thing so poorly, and she doesn't really reflect on it that amazingly in this book. Because like she we see it in the show, like she continued to pressure him to drink and to go out and to like host partnerships with champagne brands and throw parties and be like, you can drink a little, you just can't get blackout drunk, you can drink, you just can't do pills. And it's like, those go hand in hand. Mama, he likes the
you
Vicodin
literally
with
just
his
said
beer.
That his favorite thing is beer and Vicodin.
Yeah,
so you know.
And she just doesn't really address the role that she had in it that much,
and like just does him like pretty dirty, in my opinion. Like, sorry, also he like stole a bunch of money from her. Obviously he did her dirty too, but it's just like he's an addict. I
just
don't know.
Feel much more sympathy for him than for her in this situation. Unfortunately, I understand it sucks.
I know, me too.
And it's like, I know what it feels like to be the family member of an addict, and it's really, really, really painful. But like, this would be so bad to have your shit aired out on TV like that.
Sorry, I just need to mention that she says he's like stealing all this money from her, and then she looks at her credit card statement and she sees that he had spent $600 at Top Man.
She's not sure if that's him or not.
She's like, I don't know if that was him or if he lost the car. It's like,
damn it.
Buying a bunch of fucking hats and shit. God damn it.
Like structured t-shirts and
Chelsea boots. As far as your fucking eye can see.
A straw hat.
Come on. But yeah, basically like whatever she like. Okay, sorry. She's like continuing to try to keep up appearances. And then eventually she just like, I don't know if anything else happens between this and that, but she like learns that he's been buying Adderall like every couple weeks for like $600.
Yeah.
She then like asks for a divorce on camera.
Yeah, she asks for a divorce.
I don't know. It just keeps happening that it's like she confronts him, he denies it. She confronts him, he denies it.
He runs away to his parents' house.
Yeah, he goes like missing twice.
He goes to his parents' house. Like he doesn't come home one night. He says he's going to the store. And then he just goes back to Azusa and doesn't tell her. And then everybody, it's like their relationship is over after that.
Well, then she like basically production like wants her to like do this shit on camera or like have some type of conversation with him on camera. And then she like confronts him again on camera about the drugs. He lies and she just like asks for a divorce. Yeah. And that is the part that I was like, that is so evil.
It's so evil. It sucks. I mean, it's you just really didn't have to do that. He's already at fucking rock bottom, dude. He said he was going to the store and he went home.
I know.
He ran away from you. It's like, and then she was like, his whole family. He's
so clearly a guy who should not be in the spotlight.
Of course. Of course. So like, let him go. Let him step out of it.
Yeah.
Oh, I do feel really bad for him. I mean, I feel bad for him when we're watching the show.
Yeah. I feel really bad that she like asked for a divorce on camera, just like blindsided. That part is the part where I was like, dude, that is so mean.
I know. And she doesn't really, I don't know. She could have done a little bit of a better job, like painting some redeeming qualities of him throughout this book.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because
I don't know. I mean, he's just an addict is like what it comes down to.
I know.
And it's like, yeah, that's like a huge bummer.
But it's
I'm sorry that he stole from you, obviously, but he was like in active addiction and people do really shitty things when they're.
I know. And ultimately, like he was like a guy that you grew up with and loved and like got married to. So like there's definitely more sides to him than that we just like did not see in this book.
Yeah. Yeah. She literally is like, he was a normal guy. Fuck you.
Fuck you. But yeah, divorce.
They get divorced. She just has $100,000 and just tells him that she'll give him half of it if he signs divorce papers. That which was I was like, that's crazy.
Because he would have gotten divorced anyways, I think. I don't know why she would have offered that.
And like, it's just like the difference could between that money later 50K on. And 100K is pretty massive. $100K is not enough money for me to be like, well, whatever, it's still enough money for her to be like completely fine. It's like,
no,
it's a big difference. It's a
huge difference.
So
it's gonna take you a while to get back to that 100K if you literally ever do.
And then they like have talked a little bit since then, but they don't really seem to be in contact.
Yeah. Okay. Final chapter of part one. What is it called?
It's complicated.
It is sort of complicated because now Sheena and Shay are done, but she is ultimately going to reconnect with Rob.
Oh my gosh.
Who I can't wait to get
me
to
too.
In the show.
I mean,
Rob. She's obsessed with Rob.
And like, this is the thing too, where she's like, they call me boy crazy.
You're boy
Girl,
crazy.
You are boy crazy.
You're boy crazy because she's also like, I had a crush on Rob before I was even divorced from Shay.
I know. Also, that was another thing, too, where she was, like, planning and plotting to get with Rob before she broke
before
up with
she
Shay.
Before she broke up with,
like,
Shay. And it's not even a breakup. It's a full-ass divorce.
And, like, not that that's, like, but I'm just, like, that is also, like, duplicitous. Like, I don't know. Whatever.
Well, and then, so that's the thing. It's, like, if you actually already have a crush on, like, somebody else that you want to get with, and it's a guy who you dated before you were married to your husband, then why do you have to ask your addict husband for a divorce on camera?
I know.
Like, why do you have to go there?
But it's just like, yeah.
You've got a guy set up.
I know.
And you start seeing him literally immediately. She starts seeing him almost immediately.
But it is the other thing that I have to remind myself is that it is her job and that when she doesn't do things like that, they demote her from the show.
I know. That's so true.
It sucks so fucking bad.
I know. It's so true.
It sucks so bad.
She said she seriously had a crush on Rob towards the end of her relationship with Shay because she ran into him at a music festival and he was tall. Basically.
Wait, sorry. Also, she talks about like when she and Rob went out first before.
Oh, what does she say?
And it's when she talks about their date at Disney and how he like wouldn't kiss her all day. And then he kissed her right as the fireworks were going off. And it's like
in the pitch black. He didn't want anybody to see.
And a guy who is like, I have to plan the perfect time to kiss you at the
I know.
It's like,
I mean, that's nasty. But to her, that's like weirdo. A dream come true. Of course. Obviously, she loves a guy who plans like a big romantic moment. Why she loves Brock so bad.
Brock.
I hate Brock.
Yeah. I would say that Brock, I don't know. Like, I can't say for certain, but with Brock, he was kind of love bombing her at the beginning for real. He was doing huge romantic gestures at the beginning
of
their relationship.
For sure. In a crazy way.
And then wasn't even there when she had her miscarriage.
Yeah. No, he definitely was. I mean, he was cheating on her. he wasn't there for a miscarriage and then he cheated on her. Yep. And now he's like kind of a shitty husband.
Sounds like it.
Yeah.
She's like, we are really different people. Yes. I'm like, queen. Okay.
Girl. But she was dating Rob. They started dating immediately after. Whatever. Shay went to the reunion.
Yeah.
After they got divorced that year.
But and he didn't talk to her.
No. And she like had to apologize for dating Rob so quick after. That would break my heart if I were fucking Shay. That'd be so bad. But she was dating him. He really didn't want to be on Vanderpump Rules. And then he finally agreed. And then immediately there were rumors that he was cheating on her because people saw it with their own two eyes.
It's because he didn't want to be on the show because he was cheating on her.
It's because he was cheating on her. It's because he was cheating. He twirled a waitress around at a restaurant and kissed her. And people, her friends, saw it. Literally. And then told her that. And then she was like, wait, that can't be true because Rob doesn't even like kissing me.
I know. And she said that again. And I was know, like, girl,
she said it again.
It's so embarrassing.
And then in the book, she's like, yeah, I guess like, I don't know if it was true or not. Like, I guess I'll never know. Like, he could have been lying. He could have been telling the truth. Maybe he did cheat on me. I'm not sure. But I just knew I had to defend him in that moment. Sheena?
It's
Sheena.
Like, yeah, she really is always going to defend her man.
She is going to stand by her man. By your man.
Until she asks her man who was addicted to Vicodin for a divorce on
TV. She's going to stand by her man until she absolutely cannot do it anymore. Literally. And then she is going to destroy her man on television.
Yeah.
Or in her book.
Yeah.
Because the last fucking two chapters about how much she hates Brock.
I know.
It doesn't even end on a high note.
No.
It ends on a being like, I think Brock might leave me one day and I don't even know if I want to be with him.
I mean, it is like, yeah, like you
can't. And of course.
Like, yes, the woman in this book who has been in all of these relationships would not just magically end up in a good relationship.
No.
Like, it just doesn't really happen unless it's like literally by luck.
I know. And she's not very lucky.
No.
Well, Rob broke up with her because of Vanderpump Rules.
Yes.
He didn't like being on the show and he didn't like the rumors and he didn't like the drama. He said he stayed with her through season 6 because...
he didn't want to humiliate her on TV.
He didn't want to humiliate her on TV. But then like she's been humiliated on TV. Like it already happened.
Yes.
And then this is when Rob went to Italy on a trip to discover himself. And she started hanging out with 4 guys who lived in a house all together and were all in The Bachelorette. And she was hooking up with all of them except for one, which is so funny. I can't believe it.
It's so funny.
So funny.
Oh, my God. I'm so sorry. Those guys must have made fun of her so much together when she wasn't there.
I know, of course. But they're also like really stupid. So
maybe Maybe not.
I love to believe that like she was the queen of that house and she was picking whatever room she wanted to go in.
That would be awesome. It's hard for me to believe, but...
And she was going to Vegas with all 4 of them.
I know.
They were, like, toting her along. It's so weird.
Sorry, she goes to another...
Another music festival.
Yes.
Yeah, she goes to a music festival in Vegas with the guys.
A very spiritual event.
Oh.
In Las Vegas called Rise, all capitals except for the I.
Yeah. And the one she was mainly dating...
Which is a festival where they release thousands of lanterns into the sky.
Yes. Sorry. And the one she was mainly dating took her to that. And then she felt really blindsided because the next day she found out he was hooking up with a stripper. And she was like, of course, my spiritual guy is fucking a stripper.
Yep.
Of course. Just my luck. Of course.
Name is Sierra. It's like...
Name Sierra. BBW, big beautiful woman.
Becky Butterfly. The butterfly effect.
My cousin Tara.
My cousin Tara's friend Jordan. And John Mayer was there. It's like... What? Like, actually, the proper nouns make me fucking laugh. Rise.
I know,
we do. Lowercase I, all of
rise.
The all.
She does it.
Rise.
She does it literally.
Rise.
She does it so much. She is always, always, always saying the full ass name of something.
It's like she's getting paid, but she's not. Like,
every single time she says, watch what happens live. Full title. Watch what happens live.
Wait, we're gonna come up on a good one. Sorry. Sex tips for straight women from a gay man.
Sex tips for straight women from a gay man. Such a mouthful. It is like full title like 15 times in this chapter.
Oh my God.
She goes to Vegas with the boys. Rob is mad. He's like, you're hooking up with one of them. And she's like, joke's on you. I'm not hooking up with that one. I'm hooking up with all three of the other ones.
Fucking idiot.
In Vegas, she is like, I'm tired of all this drama and this bullshit. Like, I'm tired of the guys. I'm tired of them stepping all over me. Something she will say a bunch of times.
Yeah.
And then go right back to
it. Well, she is tired of it, but she can't resist. Yeah. It's like, yeah.
She is worn down, but she needs it bad. It's killing her softly. Literally. Anyways, she is like, I'm going to do something for me tonight. I am going to call my friends because I saw them on a billboard. And I'm going to go to their show called Sex Tips for Straight Women from a Gay Man. Okay.
So also like sorry, what actually I got really confused about is that, like, is that a play?
I think it is. What? It's a play?
Well, okay. I wanted to act. And then she literally later, I think, says something where she's like, it was so fun to act.
I think it's like a comedy set with like scripted parts.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. It's more like a live podcast recording kind of, right?
I think it's fully scripted probably.
Okay.
But I don't think it's like a play. I think it's like.
Okay.
A comedy show.
Yeah, it's like a... Okay, got it.
Wait, let me Google it, though.
It just got me so confused. I'm going to detail her schedule. So she, like, begged... While you look this up... Oh, did you find it?
Nope.
She begged Hard them... Hard to find. The producer... does not have good SEO, even though it's such a specific name.
Yeah. Well, there's a book of it, but there's nothing about a Vegas performance.
Mel, maybe that's the play of it. Anyway, but...
I love that you're addicted to it being a play. I don't think it's a play. They don't really do plays in Vegas as residencies.
That's what I thought. And then she talked about it. I was like, she's acting like it's a play. Okay. Anyway. So she had to like beg the producer of VPR to let her do that. Like Lisa really didn't want her to. Her schedule was that I said I could fly back every Tuesday night after my Vegas appearance, record my podcast, which I was about to launch on Wednesday, work at the restaurants Wednesday night, and then return to Vegas Thursday morning for nearly 6 months. Eventually, everyone agreed to let me go.
It's awful, 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 awful.
Holy shit, I would kill myself.
It's so bad. I can't even imagine that schedule. Like, I don't know how you would survive that. I really don't.
To her, though, she literally was like, I am living my dreams.
I know. Well, she was. I mean, she was. Wait, sorry. But first of all, I thought it was going to be on one of the big stages. So I'm kind of seeing something like that. Wow. This can't be right.
That could be right.
No, it can't be. I think it's not.
What year is that for? Well, it's literally the specific name.
I know, but I mean, they've been doing it for a really long time.
Yeah, maybe it's less popular
now. And I think it's less popular now. Because the people that they had in it before also were like bigger names. The people that she referenced.
Yeah.
But it is an interactive, upbeat brand of comedy with the theater audience.
Okay.
So.
Sorry. Those months were the exact reset I needed. Single Sheena thrived in Vegas. Whether I was on stage at my own show or at Thunder from Down Under, Magic Mike, or Chippendales, I was having the best time.
I loved
just her going to see the male strip
show. I loved that line. I highlighted that too. It's so funny. That's what she spent her whole time doing. I get it.
It's not like Vegas. You're like, go do this or that. It's just like so funny that she was like going to see those.
There's so many more shows to go to.
I would be seeing Magic.
I would be seeing so much magic. There's also a million concerts you can go to.
That is true.
You don't have to be going to the sex shows every time.
Magic Mike like a billion fucking times.
And Thunder from Down Under.
I've heard amazing things about it, by the way.
Thunder from Down Under?
Oh, no. Magic Mike. I've heard amazing things about.
Oh, my God. I would love to go to one of those shows.
I would go.
Do they have them in New York anywhere?
You would literally have to go to Vegas.
Fuck. We could do a trip to Vegas. That could be really fun.
We have to go in the winter.
Yeah, we do have to go in the winter.
We could go. What else?
Also in this chapter,
The way her mom like decorated her entire house without her, I would never fucking trust my mom to do that.
Yeah, I was just gonna say,
she and her mom are best friends.
Yeah, they're best friends. I mean,
she's like the only, literally, her mom is basically only the only person she can trust.
Yes. No, that's so true.
And like now Lala, I guess.
Yeah, but it's like, I wouldn't trust Lala if I were you.
But like literally everyone else has
betrayed
her.
Yeah, but she like while she's in Vegas, she buys a house in Marina Del Rey, or she gets an apartment in Marina Del Rey, and her mom decorates the entire thing while she's gone.
Yes,
and then she moves in, and she's like, "Okay, it's perfect."
Oh my god! I mean, I love the way my mom's house looks, but if she tried to decorate an apartment for me, I would like it would be my living nightmare.
If my mom tried to like replicate my style, it just and that's what happens when my mom tries to buy clothes for me too. It's like I think her house looks nice. She cannot do me do me.
Exactly. Mama, you cannot do me like I do me. Yeah.
And then season 7 of Vanderpump Rules starts, and she's the only single one. And it's like really hard for her.
She says, I felt totally alone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And then she's like, it was extremely weird because when I came back from Vegas, Ariana and Stassi had become like really good friends.
Yes. Oh.
And they were like dressing up together and like matching outfits. And she felt really sad.
I do feel bad for her for that.
I mean, I feel bad for her for a lot of things. Like, it just sucks. Like, I don't know. She just has a really bad relationship with men.
She has a really bad relationship with men, and she has just...
And I'm sorry for like, I want to hold space for that while also saying I do think that how she did Shay was wrong.
Me too.
But I also understand that he did her wrong.
Well, it's a complicated situation.
I just have a lot of empathy for him because he's an addict.
I have a ton of empathy for him. I think he got done really, really dirty by Sheena Shay and the show Vanderpump Rules.
Yes, but yeah, like,
but she's just also, I mean, it's a super shitty situation to be in, to be married to somebody and he is an addict and he's hiding it from you.
And you are on TV.
And you're on TV. And you're a person like Sheena Shea.
And your mom is like, he's stealing our Vicodin.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. The first half of that book, I don't know. I don't know if I have much to say other than I just am like, damn, she literally cannot catch a break in terms of being cheated on.
No, she can't. But I'll say this about her is that she has like a million billion friends.
She does.
She honestly gets a lot less friends when she joins VPR, which like makes sense.
Yeah.
But I feel like she still has like a supportive system.
And her life isn't like depressing.
No.
Like, she's like having fun running around, I think.
Yes.
She's just being like a boy crazy kind of like party girl. In a way that seems fun.
Yeah. Boy crazy party girl.
It's fun. It's sweet.
I know. It's super sweet.
Yeah. I can't believe that Lala is her chosen family, which we'll get to next week.
I can't believe that Lala is her chosen family. Come on. Like for real, straight up her chosen family.
They're raising their families together.
Yeah. They've blended their families.
Yes.
Oh my God. Why her? I hate Lala.
It's like crazy.
I hate Lala.
I wish it was someone else because I don't hate Sheena at all.
Me too. I wish it was.
Sheena has a huge heart.
I wish it was like.
I wish that she would divorce Brock.
I wish she would divorce Brock too. Maybe one day she will.
I think she might one day.
My doorbell just rang and it always scares me because what if it's Ruben?
Oh.
Ruben's not scary, but he is just always asking me for money and then I don't have it. And then he's asking my roommate. Anyways.
The last thing I'll say is that I do think that she and Brock are going to get divorced. The way she talks about it. I mean, she hasn't been in a successful relationship. And the way she talks about it.
She's talking about it like they're going to get divorced.
And he has a short fuse.
Oh my God. And he's like apt to cheat on her again.
Okay. Love you guys. Sorry that we have to break this up, but
I think it's sort of fun.
I think it's fun.
Bye.